want to talk to you. How many times do you feel like you come to church and the preacher just beats you down, beats you up? You, David raises his hand. I mean, how many times do you feel like you come to church and you're like, man, there was nobody else in the room. The preacher was speaking right to me because he's been reading my mail or something. He knows I've been dealing with this, and I'm having a hard time, and he tells me I'm doing wrong, and I need to do better, and I got to keep doing better, and he just told me how bad I am. Today, I want to tell you something a little bit different. Now, we need that stuff sometimes, right? We need that, and we're not going to stop doing that, okay? But today, you know, I'm going to give you a little sugar to take with that medicine. Okay, today is some encouragement. Matter of fact, this message that I'm preaching to you today, I heard preached, and the title that he used was "The Most Encouraging Message You've Never Heard." And I took that, and I kind of took some notes that I had from it, and I revamped it, and I added a bunch of different stuff to make it personal because what God was saying to me and what I think God may want to say to you this morning. The most encouraging message you've never heard, and you'll see why we call it that here in just a moment. Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. I just want to read these to you. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John heard in prison that Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" And Jesus replied, "You go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, more than a prophet. This is the one whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Said some good things, didn't he? Some encouragement. John the Baptist, you know, we can go back to the very beginning of Matthew when Mary was with child with Jesus, and then she went to see her cousin Elizabeth, who was with child with John the Baptist. And you know the story that when the women entered the room with the babies in their bellies, the babies leaped within their womb because they recognized the kindred spirit there. And John was brought to prepare the way. It talks about that here. John, he preached, he said, "Repent. Turn or burn." I don't know what all kind of words he used, but he said, "Repent. The kingdom is at hand." He said, "Prepare ye the way. Prepare the way." He lifted Jesus up and he said, "This is the one whose sandals I'm not even worthy to carry." He said of Jesus, he said, "You know, I baptize you with water." Jesus, he baptizes not with water, but with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He said, "I must decrease so that he can increase." And he said, "This is the one whom we've been waiting for, the Messiah. This is him, the Son of God." John's message was about Jesus, and he prepared the way. He preached Jesus. He said, "Repent. Jesus is here. Repent." This is the one who we've been waiting for. And then John finds himself in prison. And he sends a message to Jesus. He says, I've been telling people you're the one we've been waiting for. But I got to ask, are you the one we've been waiting for? See, John, he had been bold. He had gone to the king and said, King, I got to tell you something. You're wicked. I'm speaking the truth in love. He said, you're wicked. And the king said, well, thank you very much. Go to jail. Put him in jail. And he spent time in jail, and the king really didn't want to kill him because he recognized there was something special about him, and he was afraid. But at the whimsical request of some wicked woman, John ended up having his head served up on a platter. Not a great end to that story for John, unless you consider where he spent the rest of his eternity. But because of his boldness, he ends up losing his life. But for right now, he's just in jail. And he sends the request, are you the one? Or should we expect someone else? Was I mistaken, Jesus, when I preached that you were the one? Or should we expect someone else? Could you imagine him saying, God, is this it? Is this it for my life? Am I believing all of this for nothing? Is this really, God, is this really how this is going to go down? I've spent my whole life preaching, repent. I've spent my whole life preparing the way. Is this really how it's going to go down for me? Can you imagine that? Let me bring it closer to home, because sometimes we really kind of get in the same attitude. We ask the same thing. God, did I really go through all that for this? Is this all there really is? Did I have these children, sacrifice for them, take care of them, just so I could get this attitude from them? Come on, you've been there if you're a parent. Is that really my reward for being faithful? Sometimes we come to the place where we ask, is this really all there is? Is this, God, is this it? Let me tell you something. We're all going to experience disappointment, especially in our expectations. How many of you have seen commercials? Come on. Anybody ever watch TV? Okay, you've seen commercials. What do they show you? The best situations, right? The stain always comes out of the clothes. You put the powder, the stuff in there, and you stir it, that stuff. The water turns from brown to white, and the clothes come out, and they're just like you bought them from the store, you know? Yeah, you get the commercials tell you basically if you'll buy the DVD, you stick it in your DVD player and you press play, the pounds are just going to melt off. Right? You'll lift up your ab, your shirt, and you'll show you got a six-pack abdomen right there. And if you buy the DVD and put it in your player, that's what's going to happen. You buy it, you get it, only to find out that you got to do other stuff. Right? You got to sweat. You got to get tired. You got to get sore. Talk about disappointment, right? Man. It's understandable why John would want to know, is this really it, Jesus? See, I'm in prison not for doing something wrong, not for doing something bad, but because I did something right. And now I'm in prison. I'm in prison, you're out there doing all this good stuff, and I can't even see it because I'm rotting away here in this dungeon. Again, for not doing something wrong, but because I did something right. Have you ever been in that place? Like John, when everyone else is enjoying great things? Everyone else is going out to eat today, but I just can't afford to go. You ever been left out like that? Everyone else has a spouse or a girlfriend or a boyfriend, but it's just little old me. I don't have anybody. Everyone else can call their mom on Mother's Day, but I can't. My mom's not here anymore. Everybody else gets a phone call from their kids on Mother's Day or Father's Day, but mine don't call me. Everyone else has a dad. I don't have a dad. Let me tell you something. If your kids ever struggle in school while other people's kids are on the honor roll, if you've ever had a marriage where the affection is just not quite there and other people's husbands are taking them on dates and taking them out to dinner and movies and stuff, and you're just kind of not there, yeah? If that's true, if you've ever experienced that, you know what it's like to have a moment where you ask, really, God? Really, is this it? I didn't even do anything wrong, and this is what I get? Here's the key. The key is in verse 7. If you have your Bible there, turn to verse 7. You see, John asked, Jesus, are you the one? Just like I've been preaching, are you the one I've been saying? Or the one, has it been true what I've been telling? Jesus tells John some stuff. And then in verse 7, it says, as John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. You see, everything after verse 7, all this good stuff that's said after verse 7, never got to John's ears. You see, verses 1 through 4, Jesus answers the stuff about John. He says, go back and report to John this, what you see and what you hear. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. The good news is preached to the poor. Blessed are those that don't fall away. You go tell John that. And then they leave. And then Jesus says, now let me tell you about John. He's in verse 7. Why did Jesus wait until the messengers left to say good things about John? Why do you think that was? Why don't you think Jesus wanted John to hear this other good stuff that he was saying about John? I mean, that's encouraging stuff, right? He goes on, he says, would you go out to see all this, that? No, you want to see a prophet. This is whom it was written about. He said, in this one, he said, I'll tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Don't you think John would have liked to have heard that? Among those born of women. Now, let me ask you a question. Who all does that include? It includes me. And I'm guessing that the most of you out there were born from a woman. Not all the same woman, but from different women. But who has not been born of woman, right? Of all those born of women, there's none greater than John the Baptist, Jesus said. That's encouraging. Don't you think John would have liked to have heard that? Why did Jesus save that for after the messengers left to tell the crowd about John? I think it's this. Jesus wanted John to have faith in Jesus, not John. Jesus wanted John's confidence to rest not in John's work, but in the work that Jesus was doing. He said, you go tell John what I've been doing, and it's good stuff. He wants to know if I'm the one. You go tell him I'm the one. All this stuff is proof. You go tell him that he was right. He's been doing right. You go tell him that I'm the one. And then they leave. He says, now, I want to tell you about John. This is so critical to understand this part. You see, there have been times and there will be times in my life and in your lives when we want so desperately to hear a word of affirmation. I mean, we like that, right? We like to hear someone say, good job. Hey, you're doing good. I appreciate what you did there. We like to hear that. And sometimes we so desperately want to hear it and it's just not coming. We want encouragement. We want love. Listen, we want the good things that we say, we want that to be reciprocated. We want people to say the good things back to us, right? Right? Okay. I thought y'all were asleep. I mean, when I leave the house and I say to my wife, I love you, I wait till I hear that before I leave. If she doesn't answer, I say, I said, I love you, and I wait till I get it back. We want that. Sometimes God doesn't allow that we want. If we can learn something from this passage, maybe it's this. Maybe the reason I'm not getting what I want or even what I need from someone is because, maybe like John, God doesn't want me to place my confidence in what I've done, but what He's done. Not in what I can accomplish, but what He has already accomplished for me. Not in what I can work out, but what God has already worked out on my behalf. Jesus said, you go tell John the plan is working. Tell John the gospel is spreading. Tell John that healing is taking place. Tell John all of that. And now that they're gone, let me tell you something about John. He's the man. John's my boy. No one greater than John. You see, we have such a limited perspective on things. And I think that Jesus turns to the angels sometimes and says, that's my child. I'm talking about you and me. I think He turns to the heavenly host and says, did you see that? Did you see that? That's what I'm talking about. Maybe He turns to Gabriel, gives him a big old high five or a knuckle bump and even blows it up. And you, if you're not young, you don't have any idea what that means. And that's okay. That was strictly for the young ones. But I don't know if all that really happens. But Scripture does indicate that God sees things in you and me that we may never see on this earth. I believe that Jesus is saying some things behind your back. Just like He did with John. He said, you go tell John this stuff. They left. He says, now let me tell you about John. He started talking behind his back, didn't he? I believe God is saying some things behind your back today. That was a lot of introduction. Now I'm getting to point number one. Y'all think, oh my Lord, we're going to need to break out those desserts before we ever get home. Here's the first thing I think God wants you to hear this morning. You ready? Number one, it's going to blow your mind. You ready? You're doing better than you think you are. That's encouragement to you. It's encouragement to me. When I heard this, I was in tears. Because I didn't think I was doing a very good job. And God told me through this message, you're doing better than you think you are. In verse 10, He says, this is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. That's about John. Jesus said, He prepared the way for me. He's doing better than He thinks He is. God wants you to know something today. If you think you're a failure, maybe you pray, but you don't pray like you should. Maybe you spend time in the Word, but you don't spend as much time reading the Bible as you know you should. Maybe you say some encouraging words sometimes to some folks, but you're not as encouraging as you should be. Maybe you come to church every once in a while, but you don't come as often as you should. Listen, God wants to tell you something today. He wants to take all that burden of guilt off of you today and tell you you're doing better than you think you are. I mean, you're here today, right? You're doing better than you think you are. Some of us, and some of you out there think, well, God is always so frustrated and disappointed. We can't, remember how I started about sometimes we feel like we've just been walked all over by the preacher and he just beat us down, told us how sorry we are, we're nothing like but filthy rags. And you know, well, some people believe that that's all there is to it. We're just all, that's the only thing God sees when He looks at us is just disappointment and failure. But that's not true. Let me ask you a question. How do you disappoint a God who knew every mistake you would ever make and yet chose to die for you anyway? How do you disappoint that God? who knows you, knows your faults, knows your failures, and says, I choose that one. I'm going to give my life for that one because I love him. How do you disappoint that God who knew everything and still chose you? You can't do it. We need to hear a word of affirmation with most, when most Christians are preaching an overload of condemnation. You see, God doesn't work through condemnation. That's the devil's tactic. The devil's the one that condemns us, says, you're sorry. You're no good. You can't do anything right. Now, some of you may say, Pastor, if you go around telling people they're doing better than they think they are, then that's a license to slack off. You tell us we're doing better than we think we are, we're going to kick back a little bit and show you. We're going to get into a comfort zone. Let me tell you something. It's not a license to stop short. It's a charge to keep on going. It's encouragement to keep going. I'm not where I want to be. Well, let me tell you something. God agrees with you. You're not where he wants you to be either. But have you come farther than you were last year? Have you come farther than you were last month, last week, yesterday? You're doing better than you think you are. Let me show you how this works. How many of you have ever griped at your spouse or your kids or your friends? I see a few hands up there. Oh, how many of you ever been griped at by your spouse? Okay, there's a lot more hands there. Okay. Which would you rather hear? You don't do this. You don't do that. You don't do this right. How come you never? What do you think would happen if instead of using that kind of language, we told our spouse, our friends, our kids, our loved ones, you're doing better than you think you are? Let me tell you something. Somebody tells me that, I'm going to start doing better than I think I am. You just watch me. If I'm not taking the trash out enough, you tell me, you know what? You took the trash out twice last week. You're doing better than you think you are. That's better than once. Try that. Try that when you get home. Honey, I know that there's 16 pair of socks on the floor, but there's one pair that's in the dirty clothes. You're doing better than you think you are. Give it a shot. See what happens. See if they don't want to do even better. Here's number two. Are you encouraged? Is anybody getting encouraged? I want you to feel good about yourself. Sort of. You probably figured out I got a kicker coming at the end, and I do. Number two, you matter more than you think you do. In verse 11, he says, I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. John would have loved to have heard that, but he didn't. You see, there's so much happening behind the scenes that you and I are not even aware of. We don't have a clue what's going on behind the scenes. You may think that it doesn't matter in a lot of the things you do. You may think that a lot of what you do just doesn't matter. You may think, it doesn't matter if I'm even here for my kids. They don't listen to me anyway. Anybody ever thought that? Don't raise your hand. It doesn't matter if I'm here. They don't listen to me anyway. It doesn't really matter if I stand for Christ in my school or in my work because nobody notices anyway. Let me tell you something. It matters a whole lot more than you think it does. Because there's a whole lot more happening than you think there is. That was clever. You got to catch this again. Listen, it matters a whole lot more than you think it does because there's a whole lot more going on than you think there is. God is at work. You don't know all that he's doing, and you matter more than you think you do. You're valuable. You have worth. I know that. You know how I know that? You know how I know that you're valuable and that you have worth? You can always tell the value or the worth of something by the price that was paid for it. You're valuable. Jesus gave his very life for you. If you're not valuable to anybody else on this earth, you're valuable to God. He gave everything for you. You have value. You have worth. So don't you tell me that you don't matter. Because you matter. And you matter more than you think you do. You have no idea this side of heaven the difference that you can and will make in someone else's life. And for those who put their trust and their faith in Jesus, Jesus will say good things about you behind your back. But not only that, one day he'll look at you face to face and he'll say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Come on in. You mattered more than you thought you did. And I'll show you." You were faithful, and I used you when you thought you were useless. When you thought you were all used up, I was at work. When you thought no one saw, I saw. And you mattered more than you think you did. I look forward to hearing those words. Do you? Now, before you get the big head, before you go to work tomorrow and tell your boss, "I matter more than you think I do." Or, "I'm doing better than you think I am." You have to understand this last point. Number three is this. It's less about you than you think it is. It's less about you than you think it is. The truth is that you matter more than you think you do only when you realize that it's not about you to begin with. You see, John's life was not about John. That's the whole deal. John's life, John was sitting in jail thinking, "Have I wasted it? Have I wasted all of my time and my efforts? Have I been wrong? Why am I sitting here in jail? I don't even get to see all this stuff that's going on." He was having a little pity party, and that's okay to do that every once in a while, I guess. But what Jesus needed John to know was, yeah, you did everything right, but it's not about you, it's about me, because here's what I'm doing. You prepared the way, and here I am, and this is what I'm doing. It's about me. John's life was not about John. John's life was about leading people to Christ. Get that. John's life was about leading people to Christ. That's yours and my goal too. My life is not about me. Your life is not about you. Our lives are about leading people to Christ because it's all about Him. Wow. If we can get that, if we can get that and really buy into that, then we matter more than we think we do. And no matter what we do, as long as we're going to that goal, we're doing better than we think we are. You see how the first two really hinge on number three? Our lives shouldn't be any different than John's. Leading people to Christ, because it's all about Him. Some of the biggest contributions in our lives will come when we finally get to the point where we realize that it's not all about me, and it is about Jesus. When you get down and you ask God if you're making a difference, does anyone even notice? God wants to say to you, "Yes, I notice. You should hear the things I'm saying behind your back. You should see how I'm using you to make a difference in other people's lives that you don't even know yet. You see that stuff that you're going through right now? That's going to affect somebody's life years down the road. You haven't even met them yet. I can see all that. You can't. You matter more than you think you do. And you're doing better than you think you are. But it's not all about you either. You should see how I'm using you to affect generations because of your obedience. You don't even have a clue, Jesus is saying. But if you'll get this, if you'll get it, that it's not about you, if you buy into the goal that it's not about you, that it's about Jesus, you see, then we can understand a little bit about the effect and our impact here on this earth, that we really can matter more than we think we are because we're not the goal. Jesus is the goal. We're doing better than we think we are because we're drawing people to Christ. That's encouragement for us today. You're doing better than you think you are. Don't be too down on yourself. You matter more than you think you do. There's so much going on around you that you have no idea. But yet for either of those to be true and to apply to your life, you have to understand that it's less about you than you think it is. It's about Jesus. It's about lifting Him up. That's why we come to church, to lift God, to lift Jesus up, to honor Him, to praise His name. And we don't come to sing, "How great we are, oh Lord, how great we are." No, we sing, "How great you are, God, how great you are. We love you. We thank you. We honor you." But we don't need to do that just here in this building. Let's live that out in our lives. Because when we buy into that, we live that way, we matter more than we think we do. Maybe you've come to the point where you realize, I've been making it all about me. I need to make it more about Jesus because I want to matter more than I think I do. I want God to say to me, "You're doing better than you think you are." But for those to be true, we have to understand it's less about me than I think it is. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you need to come to the point where you turn to God and say, "God, it's all about you. From now on, from this point forward, everything I do, I'm going to be like John the Baptist. I'm going to preach you. I'm going to live you. I'm going to worship you. It's all going to be about you." Maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking, "I don't even understand all this stuff. I don't have a relationship with Jesus. I don't understand all that." Let me tell you, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, maybe you've heard about Him, you know all about Him, but you don't know Him, I would love nothing more than to introduce you to Him. Because He'll change your life. Give you a hope and a future. Maybe that's you today. I tell you, whatever decision that you are wrestling with in your mind or in your heart, whatever God has been saying to you this morning, maybe He said this to you. Maybe He's told you this morning, you matter more than you think you do. That stuff that you do at the house and nobody sees, let me tell you something, it matters more than you think it does. And you're doing better than you think you are. Maybe you needed to hear that. Maybe God has said something completely different to you this morning that I didn't say. Whatever God is speaking to you today, does He deserve a response from you? He certainly does. And the truth is, for most of us, our response is going to be, "No thanks. I'm satisfied with the way things are right now." I pray that that's not you, though. I pray that you respond to the call of the Spirit. I pray that you desire to be changed, to be different. We're going to stand and we're going to sing a song. I would challenge you. I mean, we have prayer benches down front. I'll be standing in front. Let me challenge you to accept the challenge, to accept a call, and let people know about it. That's what this time is for. This is the invitation. I invite you to respond to Jesus. Not to me, not to my words. I invite you to respond to the call of Jesus in your life. Will you do that?